Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
Say good evening and praise the Lord, everybody. You thank the Lord for you on the line and those that will be getting on. I'll be your teacher for this evening, Brian Keith Brasher, and do always appreciate Pastor Perkins for giving me the opportunity to come before you and to give what the Lord has given me. And it's always a privilege. I always count it a privilege come before God's people, and I sure feel like Moses when he said there's no greater people on the face of the earth. And I do always value you all. You know, you all help to refine my ministry, and just being an audience that means a lot. So do have a thought for this evening, and I'm going to start off with a scripture that I'm going to read, and then I'm going to give you a few other scriptures that I will be reading as I teach the lesson, and I'll pray, and then we'll give you the title, and then we'll move forward from there. Starting with Romans chapter 13, verse 11, Romans 13. Verse 11, I'm going to read it, and then also we'll be reading Genesis 18, 16 through 18, possibly Deuteronomy 7 and 8, and then St. John 15, 13 through 15. So Romans 13, 11 says, and this is Paul, and that knowing the time that it is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and the help that you give us every day. Lord God, we thank you for being so good to us. And Lord God, being with us each day. Lord God, we depend upon you, Lord God, to help us make it through the day. Lord God, asking you to just open up our understanding as we open up the scriptures. Lord God, we're asking you, Lord God, I'm asking you, Lord, to let your thoughts be my thoughts. Lord, let your words be my words. And Lord God, as I speak, Lord, you please minister. Lord God, that somebody will be blessed and knowledge will be increased and faith will be increased. And Lord God, most of all, we want somebody to see you more clearly and more prevalently in our lives. Lord, we thank you and we love you, Lord, for everything that you do. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So I have a thought for this evening I'd like to share with you. And the thought is this. Jesus, your friend, wants you to know and be ready. Jesus, your friend, I want to emphasize your friend, wants you to know and be ready. And the Lord has always wanted us to know where we are in relationship to his coming. And he doesn't want us to be or feel abandoned. He always has wanted us to put things in the scripture to let us know and give us markers concerning him coming. He didn't want us to feel abandoned or forsaken. He didn't want us to be rattled or uneasy with anxiety, especially with all the seemingly chaos that's going on and the discord and I'm going to say just mess that we see at all levels, at the local community level, at the state, national, international levels. We just see a lot of things that are going on, and we see a lot of things going on in the news that, and some things that are going on in the news and the government has impacted us personally. And I used to say that, you know, just make sure that you vote, because in reality, it doesn't affect us. It doesn't affect me at my address, but this is different. This is different. What's going on now is affecting us at our address, you know, where we live. But the Lord wants to give us assurance through the word that he is with us. It's important. Our relationship is extremely valuable to us and the Lord. The relationship that we have is extremely valuable to us and the Lord. He's our creator. He's our Lord, and he's our father, but he's also our friend. And that he has shown us in the scripture, wants us to know that. And that he doesn't want us to be caught by surprise, unaware of the events that are leading to his coming. He didn't want us to be caught off guard and unaware, because where we are right now, what's going on in the news is something that he has shown us in the scriptures and told us about in scripture. But he doesn't want us to be unawares of these events that are leading to his coming, even in our own daily lives, in our personal lives. There's things that are taking place, jobs and families and church, in our community. I want to, as we get into this, I first want to really emphasize the importance and trying to build up to the build this up and really hammer the importance of the relationship that we have, and that we should consider it to be a privilege to be in this continual relationship, daily relationship that he wants us to be in. See, our relationship has benefits. It has favors that the world does not know about. There's benefits, and there's special favors for the type of relationship that the Lord has allowed us to enter into with him. I want to start off by talking about the value and the privilege of the relationship. It's really characterized by fellowship. We can fellowship, we can share with the Lord. And each day, you know, nobody else is there, the Lord is there. And it's also communion. We can commune with him. We can open up and talk to him about our most intimate feelings and our most intimate emotions and the things that we go through and how we feel. And the scripture confirms that we have a God that is touched. You know, he's touched, and we can touch him by the feelings of our weaknesses, things that we go through that give us these emotions as we go through sometimes these weak points and areas of our lives. But it's a blessing to have this relationship where we also have access to him. So the relationship is characterized by fellowship, communion with him, and access to him. Also in the book of Hebrews, the scripture says, come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy to help in times of need and in times of trouble. So the relationship has benefits, and really speaks to this friendship that the Lord wants to have with us. And what's amazing to me is that we have a God that's also a friend. We have a God that spoke this universe and this world into existence. But he also is a friend. Jesus is just that personal and that personable that he wants the relationship to go into a friendship. He wants to be your friend. Now he's our God, and we don't want to get it mixed up across the line, because sometimes I ask the Lord, and I say, Lord, I don't want to be too casual in my conversation with you, you know, but I just talk to him, you know, as going through the day. And I sure respect him and reverence him above all things. But I just feel comfortable being able to talk to him as a friend. And I want to start off with where we see this relationship being talked about by the Lord in Genesis 18:16-19. This relationship that we're talking about, that this is Abraham, and maybe Abraham didn't even realize that the Lord considered him as a friend. Well, Abraham is just going about his business, and he was a good man. And I always like to put this out here about Abraham. There's a word that describes Abraham that sometimes we've heard the word thrown out there out of context, but the word that describes Abraham is magnanimous. You ever heard that? Magnanimous. Yeah, some people will throw it out there in the magnanimous name of Jesus, you know, and to make it sound big, but which he absolutely is magnanimous. But what it means is generous, kind, and forgiving. Abraham was a generous, kind, and forgiving man. And we're going to ready to see, which came from his love for people. And we see that through Lot, you know, got to the point where they had to separate. And being this magnanimous, generous person, he gives Lot his choice of what direction or what land that Lot was going to take. And Lot was very selfish, and he took the best land. But it didn't pan out to be the best. He said that he looked towards Sodom. And at that time, before the destruction of Sodom, the Bible says that it was like the garden of God. The whole area around what is now the Dead Sea, it wasn't dead, but it was a very fertile and a very pristine, looked like a garden, looked like an oasis all the way around, a big, huge sea. But it was so wicked that the Lord heard of the cry come up to him about all the wickedness, and he was going to destroy it. So just that background. And in Genesis 18:16-19, I want to see what the Lord is saying about Abraham and this relationship that he values with Abraham. And verse number 16 says, "And men rose up from thence, and the men rose up from there." These are angels. "And they looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way." So he was sending them off, bidding them farewell, and being magnanimous, very generous from the time that they came. Had sacrificed the lamb and prepared it, and was kind to them, and even the angels were impressed. I like that. with this man, with his generosity. And it says, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do?" The thing that I'm getting ready to do. And the Lord is having a conversation with himself. He does everything after the counsel of his own will. He says, "Shall I hide this? Because it's getting ready to be almost like an apocalyptic event of destruction that the Lord is getting ready to bring forth upon Sodom, Gomorrah, and all of that area. And he says, "Seeing that Abraham shall surely be a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." That's us, the families, the nations that are going to be blessed through his seed. He's referring to a redeemer, which is the Lord Jesus. He's going to be a blessed man. He said, "For I know him." Isn't that beautiful? "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that he has spoken of him. And this is where it's talked about is in the book of James 2:23, where James refers to this discussion that the Lord has with himself. And he refers to this being Abraham being considered to be God's friend in this verse here. Because first of all, he wants him to know what's going to happen before it happens. He doesn't want him to be caught unaware. He doesn't want him to be unprepared. So he lets him know what was going to happen. And when he did, Abraham immediately went into intercession because his nephew and his family were in Sodom. And he wants us to know where we are. And he shares that with us as a friend, as our friend. He lets us know things ahead of time so that we can go into prayer. There was an example here that Abraham went into prayer and intercession because he found out about the things that were going to happen. And it came directly from the Lord. And he did this because there's some interesting things in here. I'm not going to get too deep off into it, but just the fact that how he would train up his household in the ways of the Lord. He talks about how he'll continue on my name and continue on to teach his children and then that'll continue on. And I know he's gonna magnify me in his household. So that was all part of being this friend. He's gonna talk about, magnify me. And then part of being the benefit was finding out and the Lord letting him know what's going to happen ahead of time. And that's part of what I want to emphasize. The Lord letting us know ahead of time what we may face or what that we may go through. And I want to go also to Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4, 7 and 8. This shows you, it's just a continuation of how great this privilege of this relationship is. Deuteronomy 4, 7 and 8. He goes on and says, for what nation or what people? And we know that we're the holy nation now. But he goes on to say, for what nation is there so great who has God so near unto them? Just right that part right there. To have God so near to us. Isn't that special? That God would want to be so close to me. I don't consider myself to be worthy for to want to be that close to me. But see, so what nation is so great? Who have God so near unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord is right there. Call upon me and I shall say, here I am. He's just waiting as a friend. That's how close the relationship is and that he wants the relationship to be. So close that he wants to be involved in everything. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he'll direct your path. He'll be your counselor. He'll be your advisor. He'll tell you the next step to take. And I'm gonna keep on going. The decks. I'm just trying to build up this relationship we have as a friend, to start off here. And I want to go to St. John. Chapter 15, and it's a familiar scripture where he talks about being he's the true vine, he's the vine and we're the branches. He talks about this relationship that we have with him, that we abide, that we're dependent upon him for everything. And but later on, he goes further and lets us know just how great this relationship is and how deep that it goes. And St. John 15, 13 through 15. We know this scripture here, but we want to read all the rest of the scriptures to tie into it. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He's talking about us. He laid his life down for who? For you. He laid his life down for me. There's no greater love that anybody could have that they would sacrifice their life for their friends. And he goes on to say, for all things that I have heard of my Father have I made known to you. So your friend shares knowledge because he don't want you caught off guard. Like I said, he wants you to have all the information to make the right decisions and to know what's going on. What a privilege. He says, you have not chosen me. Hold on a second here. Let me see here. Oh, verse number 14. I'm skipping over scriptures. Forgive me. Verse number 14. You are my friends. He says, if you do whatever I command you. And henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I call you friends. There that word is again, this relationship. He said, I'll call you friends. He said, a servant don't know. I don't share. I'm not that close to those that are, I call a servant. But I do with those that I call a friend. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I skipped into that one. So he said, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So that's how I wanted to bring this thing in and just emphasize how special that we are to the Lord and that the relationship can go as deep and as far as we want it to go. And the Lord wants it to get to the point where we become his friend, he becomes our friend. And like I said, that just amazes me that this great God would want to be so close and so personable to be our friend. And I want to just talk about this title. Jesus, your friend, wants you to know and wants you to be ready. Jesus, your friend, wants you to know and to be ready. And what does the Lord want you to know? What does the Lord want us to know? So there's things that the Lord wants us to know in relation to his coming. That's where we are right now. Things are coming together that are pointing to his coming. What we're seeing, what we're hearing in the news is for us to get ready. And all of this is in relation to his coming and his the coming judgment that's going to be on the world. And in general, this is what I say. In general, there are three things that let us know that we're in the last day, the latter of the last days. The three things in general that let us know that we're in the latter of the last days and that the gears of the last day events and the hand on the clock for these last day events are in motion right now. And that's what we're seeing, but the Lord wants us to know through his word where we are and what's going on, because a lot of people are asking that. And unless you have that relationship and unless you are seeking in the scripture to know, you know, you won't know what's going on. But there's three areas that let us know that we're in the last days before the Lord comes. And these areas that let us know that we're in the last days are these: world events that the Lord tells us about that are taking place, that he talks about in Matthew 24. And that's where we're going to kind of land tonight and focus on these events, because it's very clear where we are through this. Within those scriptures, I also want to focus on verse 44, because he emphasizes, the main thing he emphasizes through all of these things he lets us know is to be ready. To be ready. If no man knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven knows when it's going to take place, when the Lord is going to come back to judge this earth and to set up his kingdom. The second thing that indicates that we're in these last days is the character of people. The character of people in and out of the church, but mostly in the church is what the scriptures focuses in on. And Paul warns Timothy and us, the church, in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9, he talks about in the last day perilous times shall come. He's talking about dangerous times are going to come. And it's interesting how he puts this. And he's talking about in and out of the church. The dangerous thing in the church is that souls will be victimized within the church. It's a dangerous time for people. And being under ministries that have hurt people and have taken advantage of people. But you can read those and you can look at the disposition of people, the character of people in the church or in general. That's the second thing. And you can read that, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. The other thing, which is sort of related, is in Revelations 3, 14 through 22. The last day church, the last day church, or the church age, this age church, which is known as Laodicea. And you've heard that, everybody probably has heard that term. That's another thing that indicates it's Laodicea, the lukewarm church, that made the Lord sick. Isn't that terrible? It was a lukewarm church that made the Lord sick. And he said he wasn't hot or cold. Because it wasn't hot or cold, he spewed it out. He just vomited it out. But this church, and we read about it, and we need to read about it because we don't want to be victimized by this Laodicean syndrome that the general church you see in the church and that we're in right now. This is the dispensation. This is the age that we're in, the time that we're in now. And the Lord sees it as a materialistic, arrogant, compromising church that's insensitive to sin. You know, we've been around it so much that we've been desensitized to some of to sin. He considers it to be a weak church. The works were of little to no value to the Lord. Got a lot of programs, but what's going on with the souls? A whole lot of programs. And you can look on Facebook. Everybody's got a program that they're trying to invite people to. And another thing is that there's a falling away. There's going to be the Lord talks about this great falling away. And these are things that, because he's our friend, he wants us to know. And nobody knew that a pandemic, COVID, coronavirus was going to be a catalyst to this falling away. We couldn't have known exactly. You know, we know that people are leaving. Before COVID, the people were in and out of the church, but COVID created an excuse for people to make their exodus that was on their mind. And they say statistics say that 30% of the people, there were 30% of people that were in church that are no longer going to church. 30%, that's a lot. That's just churches in general. No particular denomination. That's churches in general. A great falling away. And I'm going to say this, that if you know somebody who's backslid, try to go get them. If they cross your mind, you know, if you can locate them, try to get them. So, but I want to keep rolling here. Hopefully this is something to think about, and that it's making sense, because the Lord wants us to know. Going to Romans 13 and 11. Going back to what Paul is saying. It's high time, he said. He said it's high. He says, let me get all of that. He said, and that knowing the time. He's saying that, hey, we know the time. The time it is. And that knowing the time, it is high time for us to wake out of our sleep. Our redemption is closer now than when we first believed. So what's Paul saying? You know, we know that. It's high time. You know, we know that. He's saying there's no excuse, because we've been hearing the message for a long time that Jesus is coming, haven't we? We've been hearing that for a long time. That Jesus, the Lord, is coming. And he's coming soon. It may be night. It may be noon. We don't know exactly, but we know that he is coming soon. They used to say, sing a song, it may be night, it may be noon, but Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. So he said there's no excuse. He says it's high time. It ain't, you know, high time. He's not talking about it's time to start partying and doing our thing, but high time implies a sense of urgency. Now, you know, a sense of urgency right now, immediately. In other words, we know the time is now, immediately, based upon what we see is that's going on right now, that we're going to get into, that Jesus himself, our friend, told us to be looking for, told his apostles to be looking for. But it's high time to awake out of what? Out of sleep. Awake out of sleep. So you see, sleep deals with unconsciousness and being unaware, being at ease, being insensitive to what's going on around. Because when I go to bed, I'm knocked out now. I used to be a light sleeper. I could hear little stuff going on in the house and jump up and go see what it was. Not anymore. Somebody broke in my truck, busted the windows out. I slept all the way through it. I slept all the way through it. Didn't know till my neighbor called me the next morning. Looked like somebody broke in your truck. I was knocked out. I was asleep. That is the natural example. Immediately, you know, we were unconscious to what's going on, but we are conscious through the word, through what's going on in the news. Don't abandon the news, because that's the Bible being fulfilled. But and I'm just going to use some common words. It's just a common word to express what he's saying. In other words, snap out of it. Snap out of it. You know, we're asleep, but hey, snap out of it. Because the Lord does not want us to be caught unaware, like those five foolish virgins that became so content and so complacent, and they compromised with the world, and they weren't prepared to meet the Lord when he came. See? And the Lord wants us to be prepared. not unprepared. Okay, so continuing on, we want to wake up, saints. It's time to wake up out of our sleep. And I want to go over to Matthew 24, because this we talked about. This is a question that I'm bringing right back. What are the three things that let us know that the last days are here? We said one of them are world events. Then we said the next was something about people. And then we talked about Laodicea, which is the what's going on in this last day church, right? Those three things: world events, character of people, and what's going on in this last day church. We don't want to get hung up in that lukewarm, and it can happen, you know. And I can get into it, you know. I got to snap out of it. I got to tell myself to snap of it. I don't want to just be so routine, you know. I'm just going through the motions, you know. Popping up on the line, and then, you know, waiting for Sunday morning, and here I come, you know. And I want to like the scripture. I want to enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him, and bless his name. I want to come in there praising and blessing the name of the Lord, and hopefully that thing, you know, one thing. If one person gets hot and on fire, that thing, I believe, will be contagious. And I had a pastor, though, that would say this when things got humdrum in the church. He would say, everybody needs to say this. If the whole church was like me, what kind of church would this be? He said, now, make this part. He said, if the whole church was like me, what kind of church would this be? Go be humdrum and I'm struggling. I'm just struggling to put one foot in front of the other. But what the Lord says, our friend, in chapter 24, verse 1, I'm going to start at verse 1, chapter 24, St. Matthew's chapter 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Oh, this thing was beautiful. Herod's temple, Herod the Great's temple was just a glorious thing. It was made of marble and granite. And they said when the sun would shine off of it just right, you couldn't hardly even look at it. It just shone. It just was shining so bright. And it was just such a big, huge, magnificent synagogue, temple. And Jesus said unto them, see, do you see all these things? See not all these things? He said, verily or truly, I'm telling you the truth now. I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon the other that shall not be thrown down. And this was a shock right here, because one stone, they said that one stone measured by 20 to 25 feet in width. I had an apartment, the whole apartment wasn't 25 feet. But one stone, he said, every stone is going to be thrown down. It's going to be destroyed. And when Jesus speaks, being omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-knowing, he can speak to the past. He can speak to the present. He can speak to the near future, you can speak to the distant future all at the same time. And some of these scriptures reflect that. They reflect that. Now, when we're reading it, when the temple was destroyed was 70 AD. That was in the past. But he's also talking to the future, and the distant, not so distant future now, because it's been over 2,000 years. So, And then it says, verse number 3, and he sat up on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? Boy, these are some questions that only the Lord can answer. He didn't give you every detail. He didn't give us every detail and the date on the calendar because, see, we're walking, still walking by faith. See, this is a daily walk by faith. So he gives us information for us to be looking and to watch, to be watching and praying as to what does this mean? Where is this in the scripture? And he starts off by saying this. He says, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed means you pay real close attention to what's going on. You're going to need to connect the dots here. You're going to need to you got to see what he's saying when he's telling us. But he's talking about take heed and be very careful and pay close attention. He said, and don't let no man deceive you. So what thing is happening during this time? It's going to be a time of deception. People are going to try to deceive you. And you know what? That's happening every day. I'll get so many calls. I'm tired of getting all these trying to deceive me. I didn't qualify for $25,000. I ain't even made out an application, you know, call and, you know, just to claim this. But there's a time of deception, but he's really referring to the church. Really referring to the church. He goes on to say, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. A lot are going to come representing Christ. We're seeing it. We're seeing it often now. They're going to come in my name, saying they represent Christ, and they're going to sound so good, and people are going to follow them, and some are even going to say, I am Jesus. that are going to deceive people. And we've seen it, these cults where the leader rises up and he leads them astray by making them think he is Jesus. But then there's these other individuals in the church that are going to deceive people. And we're going to look at what's going on at the church all around us and all around the world. We're seeing these leaders falling, these church leaders falling. And he really is talking about imposters in the church, and fake preachers, fake teachers, and church leaders, hypocrites that we can see in the church world. And it's so unfortunate that with every one of these, it fall, and some of them are seen on TV, and television evangelists, or their church is so big we hear about them. And it don't have to be a big one, but every preacher, pastor that falls has deceived somebody or has deceived some portion of their congregation. That's the unfortunate thing about this fall. Is so many people have put their trust in these leaders. And then many of them, their faith is lost. They turn and they leave. That's part of the falling away, is they've been hurt by these leaders that have deceived the people. And we're hearing about it more and more. And mockers that don't believe in the church, they point the finger. Now the news is, they're all over the news as to what they've done, and it just kills the faith of people. So we got to watch these individuals that are going to come representing the Lord, and they're going to deceive many. Paul said they're going to try to make merchandise out of you. And then he goes on to say, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. And he said, see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come, but the end is not yet. It's not, you know, these are things, because we're hearing about wars, aren't we? We're hearing about wars that seem like on a daily basis. People are going to battle and going into these wars and skirmishes. So what does it mean? What does this mean? Well, the big picture is that there's going to be eventually an absence of peace. Peace will gradually be taken out of the world. And peace comes from the Lord, the Prince of Peace, who as a whole is not being acknowledged or called on at all to bring peace into this world. So there's going to be war. And even Revelation talks about it. There's this red horse that was released during tribulation, and he was going to have power to take peace away from the earth. And it was going to be nothing but war. It's going to be huge wars. And then we talk about rumors of war. We're hearing about countries and going into war and just talks of war, just like a couple of months ago. All of a sudden, here comes India and Pakistan going to battle, going into war and having battles on the border. And Pakistan is the biggest harborer of terrorists in the world. They come from Pakistan. So these things are going to happen. You know, we got the Jews, we got Israel and the Muslims, we got Ukraine and we got Russia. Things been going on and on and on. But we were seeing that nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. So I'm going to go ahead and take a break here because this time is moving on. Because I do want to talk about this next verse 7, because we're seeing that those are the world events and natural world events and categories of world events. Yeah, I see. Yeah, that's scary, First Lady. Pakistan and India have nuclear weapons. But he said the end's not yet. You're going to hear about all these things. He said, the Lord's telling us, the Lord Jesus, who is your friend, is letting us know these are just birth pains that are taking place. Anyway, anybody has any comments, any questions, feel free to unmute your phone and let us know what's on your mind, what question or what comment that you have. We got several in the chat. We got several. Yeah, it's an urgency. Hmm. For sure. All right.
Praise the Lord. It was a whole lot of information in here, but it just makes you think about, God wants, God is our friend. And we can go as deep in that relationship as we want to go. And if you think of that on a natural level, sometimes you think people are your friends. I've had incident at work, I thought somebody was my friend. But there are people, can deceive you. But, I'm reminded of that song, what a friend we have in Jesus.
Yeah.
And as far as you want to go, you can be there. And you were talking about that's close. Sam is close and as personal as you want him to be. Because a lot of times you think about our parents love us and we have a love for our parents and we have love for our family, but God, nobody loves us more than Jesus. No more than God, who gave himself. He loved us so much that he, came in the flesh and died for us. So I'm just, I was just thinking about the fact that how special we are to him. And sometimes that can be taken for granted, because we know that he cares for us, and we know that when we're going for things and the joy of the Lord is our strength, and a lot of times we don't call on him like we should until there's a problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, you may say, you may get your prayer in daily, and then sometimes you may not. But God still loves us in spite of who we are. A natural friend would give up on you, if, you know, if you were there sometimes and then sometimes you weren't. And a natural friend, you know, will be there, but when the times are good. Sometimes when they're bad, they'll walk away. But I'm just thankful that we have a God that who loves us in spite of who we are. And this is just a good lesson with a whole lot of information, a whole lot of great scriptures and everything. So I just want to tell you it's a good lesson today, and, you know, about that personal relationship. You know, talk about that personal relationship. That's what sticks with me, that having that relationship, that one-on-one. And he's so powerful. Not only is it one-on-one with me, it's one-on-one with you.
Yeah.
And you and whoever wants it. You know, it's so... just a great lesson tonight. Good job.
Thank you, Sister Karen. I do appreciate that. And he lets us know not only these last day things, but he'll let you know personally. I don't know how many times he's let me know on my job that folks were plotting something, you know, and saying things that weren't even true. You know, on the job, or maybe even in your family, you know, sometimes even in the church, but the Lord being your friend will maybe let somebody else who is your friend and to tell you what's going on, you know, and so you will be prepared to know. There were times that Lord let me know something was going on before it happened, and I was already preparing myself for the conversation. I don't know if you've ever done that, but yeah. Before it happens, Lord lets you know. You know, you feeling, you discerning something like the Lord, and we're not like necessarily like that, but we can pick up on. He was able to discern their thoughts, you know, and he's a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart, and he can share that with us. That other folks' hearts are not right towards us. And they got something that they got up, like Pastor Perkins said, from time to time, they didn't have a hearing. They didn't have tried you and everything, and you ain't even been invited. But you know something ain't right. But anyway, thank the Lord for being that friend, because I sure have depended on that, and I love him for that. So thank you, Sister Karen. I'm trying to get down to verse 8 here and give us some real other information, some real daily, real life information. He goes on in verse number 7. Don't be troubled. The end's not yet. He said, for nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famine, there shall be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in divers places. And I look at these famines, pestilence, earthquakes, and that as sort of categories of things. Like he starts off talking about the famine, which is a lack of. Just people, it's just they don't have enough. People don't have what they need. It may not just necessarily be food, but just a lack of food. It can be a lack of food. Water, clean, decent, safe, sanitary housing, clean clothes. They just, you know, may not have it. And here's some statistics to show you that how blessed that we are, and the Lord not gonna allow the righteous to be forsaken or seed begging bread. But you know, here's an alarming statistics. United States, you got 47 million people either don't eat each day or they're struggling to eat each day. 47 million, that's just here in the United States, 47 million people that may not eat today, or, you know, they struggling to have enough food, just one meal for the whole family. You know, and out of that 47 million, 13 million are children. And that's sad. Can you even imagine a child not going, just hungry day after day? And then we want to cut off the food in the schools and the breakfast and the lunch, and they're just terrible. Here in one of the wealthiest countries in the world, famine, and it's growing. This is growing. The percentage and the numbers are growing, and we're seeing that on a regular days, people just needing food. You know, some people out there on drugs, but they're hungry too. You know, here's the other thing. And this number increased, I think they said 18% this year. 770,000 people go homeless every day. 700, that's a lack of shelter. 770,000 people every day are homeless. And the numbers are growing, y'all. Isn't that a sad thing? That's what the Lord is saying. You know, even in the richest country in the world, you know, we don't expect to hear those kind of numbers. Then he talks about pestilence. Pestilence are contagious diseases. They can be fatal, contagious diseases, epidemic, pandemic type of diseases. And we never thought that we would be hit by that. We never thought that scripture was going to hit us, did we? The past, when we read about pestilence, the COVID. I got, before COVID, I came down, I was already sick with this illness, immune system, and then I ended up getting a disease that I picked up in the hospital. And those of you that are in healthcare would be familiar with C. diff. Picked up C. diff. They put me in quarantine. When they found out I had it, they put me in the hospital in isolation. People that came to see me was so contagious. Plus my immune system was so weak. You had to suit up in a surgical gown and have a gloves and a mask and something on your head. The scripture hit me, y'all. I never expected it, but the Lord did let me know through this scripture that this is something that can happen, and happen to good people. I don't know how, you know, I thought I'd made it through without COVID. I thought COVID was over. Then I got hit with COVID. I took care of my wife about three times. She had COVID about three times. And then I'm like, boy, thank the Lord I made it through. You know, and then all of a sudden out of the blue, I got hit hard. I was down for like almost 20 days. So he says pestilence. And then he gets into earthquakes. This is a category I look at as natural disasters, y'all. But we had an earthquake just last week in Tennessee, 4.1, and over there south of Knoxville, went on down into Georgia. But let's look at these natural events that they're saying is because of the global warming. All of a sudden, hurricanes, we're feeling the effects of hurricanes from the Gulf all the way up to Tennessee, North Carolina, on up. That flood, that hurricane, it continued on, and the flood destroyed East Tennessee. People were out on top of the hospital roof trying to survive, on top of nurse trying to survive. That's how the year ended and started. And then huge snowstorms dropping feet of snow. You know, we ain't talking inches, we're talking feet, multiple feet of snow. But world events, these events, my thought is this, is to expect what's unexpected. You know, just be ready. And all these, he says, are the beginning of sorrows, the birth pangs. It's a time period, y'all. It's a time period. When he talks about the beginning, there's a beginning and there's an end. So the beginning of sorrows, but read this whole 24th chapter, but focus in on the end, because he doesn't want you to get all caught up in fear and anxiety because these things are going to happen and they're happening. But at the end, he says, verse 44, he says, therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, hey, here comes your Redeemer. The Son of Man cometh. And that's what we're looking for. Son of Man is our friend. We don't have to be in fear of the Lord. You know, he's our friend. He's going to take us back. He's taking care of us now on this side. He's going to take care of us and take us out of here and also bring us back with him as part of the judgment upon the earth. And that's a whole nother thing. But anyways, a whole lot of stuff. Read those verses, you know, those chapters that I gave you, and you'll kind of see what's going on. And the Lord, our friend, is letting us know. Do we have a question or comment? Is that Sister Carol? Did you unmute your phone, Sister Carol?
Yeah, did you hear the dog bark? Did you hear the dog bark? I had to go put him in the bedroom.
What'd you say?
I said, did you hear the dog bark? And I had to go put him in the bedroom.
Okay. Yeah, he must have been giving me an amen.
He was.
Yeah, he was in there shouting.
I enjoyed your message too tonight and everything. And it's so true for everything what you were talking about it and everything. And especially deception is like it's so much deception nowadays. You can't tell what's real and what's false. But also too, like in some of the churches, how they have like how they have gay bishops, you know, so this is just deception, you know, because this is not in the word, but the church is accepting it more and more. And I thought about the scriptures too in 2 Timothy 3. Did you read those? Did you read that?
No, I didn't read those scriptures, but yeah, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I just thought about it where it's talking about the last days, what we're living in right now, wickedness in the last days, what we're seeing now. It says, this know also that in last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. We're seeing that more and more when you can see a man, a grown man that can rape a baby. I can rape or, you know, a one-year-old girl or something like that and don't think nothing about it. Sex trafficking. Don't think nothing about what you're doing, how you're destroying that child's life. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinence, fears, despisers of those are good. When we try to serve the Lord, you know, we got people because they don't want to change. That, you know, they're against us because, you know, we're trying to live holy and righteous. But they like their lifestyle, so they want to take it out on us. Traitors, hardy, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We seeing this more and more every day. Like I said, these traffickers, what you could do to these little girls, you know, you just don't have a heart at all. And it said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, as search, as turn away. And we're seeing these scriptures right here just more and more. And you're talking about deception. So many people deceive. You see that war that's going on in Israel. But in the book of Revelation, it said, I, John, saw the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Right, this new Jerusalem. So God is not, Jesus is not against Israel. Matter of fact, he tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But so many people are deceived today, turn against Israel, turn right. And Jesus even tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But the new Jerusalem is coming down into heaven. So God haven't forgot about them. He just got them put away for a minute. They blinded for a minute.
Mm-hmm. It's just gonna be a remnant of the saved. Everything is going to be new. He's going to destroy all of it. And yeah, pray for them, you know, that they see the truth and accept the Lord, because that Israel that everybody's looking at, that ain't the Israel the Lord's talking about.
and even the people.
You know, from the beginning, he knew he's going to destroy all of this, and there's going to be a new heaven and new earth. A new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. It's going to be spiritual places. And to get there, you're going to have to be a spiritual person and to be there.
And look at my job. where I work at, right, in the state mental institution. You know, it's a lot of demonic activity out there. But anyway, you got people that have actually tried to take their own life. They tried to jump off the bridge. You know what I'm saying? We got a lot of the homeless population is out there with us because we have to accept them because we the state on alcohol and drugs. But yet, I cannot tell them about Jesus. You know, Jesus is the way to get out the alcohol and drugs. You don't have to commit suicide. It's another way. Let me tell it to you. I was in a mental institution too, twice. Let me tell it to you. But I can't. I could lose my job. Isn't that so sad? It should not be like this in America, that we cannot talk about Jesus. Or either if we have some people that are gay, if we don't call them by their right pronouns, they can go to human resources and they will let us go. You know? Mm. And so we gotta be on guard, you know, what should we call you? You know, I'm just saying it shouldn't be like that. Man. But that's the way it is. I mean, yeah. You know, we the state, we have to say accept everybody. We have so many people that are in bondage. You know what I'm saying? The devil has them bound. And we know the answers, but we can't reveal it to them unless God opens up a door, you know, through the Holy Spirit, where you can maybe tell one person. But we got another person, a new person that's in human resources right now, and she's really a strickler to it and everything. I mean, in my office, I can't even have a picture of Jesus. Now, this is my office. That's what I told them. They said, no, it's not. It's not your office. It belongs to the state, and you cannot have nothing biblical in there. Ain't that sad?
Yeah, but what you can always do is pray.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Deb, I'm just saying it says that we got to that point.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I can have nothing in my office about Jesus, and my office is my office.
Yeah, but yeah, you bring Jesus to the office. You bring prayer into that building. You can pray as you go in your spirit, and you can go around there praying, you know. Pray before you get there. Pray in the parking lot. You know, you can still pray. Stop you from praying. Amen. But anyway, thank you for the comment. Everybody's comment. Thank you for being attentive. And I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Perkins. Looks like he's had a long day there. I'm looking at his face. Yeah, he's been going a long time, Pastor. Elder Jackson.
Stay here, Elder.
Go ahead.
What are you trying to say about past? Don't be talking about my past. Oh, yeah. Really, you talked two lessons. You did. You talked about the Jesus being our friend. Mm-hmm. And got into the last time, the last day.
Mm-hmm.
Very complex. But you know, Jesus is. He's our friend. We shouldn't fear him. We should fear him with a godly fear, respect him, but he's our friend. He's rooting for us to make it. He's rooting for us to. He's got a plan for everybody's life. He wants everyone to follow through with that plan, all to do. So he is a friend. Jesus is our friend. I love the scripture where it talks about. He said, "I don't call you my servants, so I call you my friends." So you had quoted that scripture. This was everything the Father told me. I've let you guys know you are my friend. And you know, friendship is, judged or graded by when you go through hard times. That's how you know a friend is your friend. If it survives tough times, and even when walking with God, there'll be a time when you're going to be like, well, God, where are you? Why aren't you talking to me? Do you not care? And that's when you realize, you know, you can go through that with him, that he's a true friend and you're a friend of God. He's and remember Jesus, he called Judas friend. You know, he called Judas friend when they kissed him. And when they came to arrest him, Jesus called Judas friend. We know he was wrong. But anyway, you did a good lesson. It was good. And thank God for you always poised and professional. God bless you. I want to encourage you.
Thank you. I do appreciate you always. Thank you for being my friend.
You're educated.
Well, in certain areas, went to college, but it wasn't for this.
Right.
It wasn't.
But you know how to read, though.
It wasn't, but yeah, I do know how to read.
You know, some preachers can't read.
But you know, I'm a very slow reader.
Yeah.
And one time I'm thinking, am I dyslexic or what? Because, you know, you used to, remember you had those slide projector things? It was a projector that put these words and you had to read the words. Man, I was always behind. I just gave up and I said, let me just move on to the next slide. You know, because I was just such a slow, but it benefited me now. Being a slow reader, reading the word, and Lord help magnify things. You know, I was never a fast reader. They said engineering is a major that requires the second less. Let me get this right. It requires, there's only one major that requires less reading, and engineering is number two. It's one of the majors that requires the least amount of reading. we just the concept of math, we communicated math, but part of that I think was because, hey, I was not a good, I couldn't have been a lawyer. I couldn't have been, that's too much. I couldn't have been a nurse or a doctor. I couldn't, but anyway, thank the Lord he's chosen me for this vocation because I enjoy it more than any. God bless you. Is that a hand up there, Mr. Malone? You're putting some stuff. I never see. You're putting some stuff. We're going to have to get a little class mm-hmm. Zoom for Minister Malone. All right. Thank the Lord.
I know we're wrapping up Bible study. I'm take that off. We're wrapping up Bible study. So I just had a request because I see all of the ministers are on. If after everyone logs off, if the ministers will stay on. Pastor Perkins, you can stay as well, please.
I can. Okay, thank you.
Oh, if you can.
Yeah, no, I've just been silly.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, ministers.
So whomever is the host, don't cut us off. I think Brother Rod Putton, so don't cut us off. You can make me the host if you wish at the end, Brother Rod Putton. So a great lesson tonight. Thank you. One of the unique things about Abraham, I don't remember any other character being called the friend of God. We know God is our friend. Jesus is our friend. But Abraham had a distinct relationship. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So his faith in the spiritual realm was converted into the currency of righteousness, not his righteousness, but God's righteousness. It was imputed. It was transferred. It's kind of like if somebody was a truck driver for Yellow Freight and they were negligent and they ran into something and caused some property damage. I don't want nobody to be hurt in this illustration. Caused some property damage. Well, party that had the property damage wouldn't be anxious to sue the truck driver because the truck driver didn't have the deep pocket. But that truck driver's negligence would be imputed to Yellow Freight. And so God's righteousness is imputed to us by virtue of our faith. And so if we are faithful over our walk with God, hallelujah, we too can get that Abrahamic title of being God's friend. And, you know, I never thought of that growing up. I never thought that I could even go to church or be a church person. And God has given us an opportunity through his word, through the grace, through the wonder of redemption, to go a little bit higher in him, to go places in the spirit, to actually be blessed and a blessing, to be wounded healers like Jesus was. How many times have we been hurt, stood up in a funeral, and through the grace of God gave words of comfort or something? And maybe we just blessed one person, but it was worth it. I really appreciate the lesson, the focus on the last days, the focus on readiness. Elder Brash, you may have heard me say recently, there's a difference between preparation and readiness. Preparation, you're trying to get ready. But readiness is what the Lord is looking for. Not people trying to get ready, not people trying to repent. We need to, because it's going to happen so quick, we need to go ahead and get ready. I see C. Jackson on the phone. God bless you, C. Jackson. I hope that's Courtney. God bless you. Thank you for joining with us. God bless Stan. God bless the whole. God bless that little baby. Hallelujah. The whole family. When you go out, the favor of God's going to be on you. Brother Stan, that baby. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad. It took me like a whole hour to figure out who C. Jackson might be. So I was racking my brain. And so,
praise the Lord, Pastor Perkins and family. I just want to say thank you for that, and enjoyed the lesson, and just good to be with you all tonight. The baby and I are here watching and listening, and we just love you all.
God bless you. That's awesome.
Amen. Right. Hi, James. Hi, baby James.
Well, I throw it back to Elder Brasher to close us out.
Okay, and we're staying on afterwards, right?
Okay. Yes, the ministers are staying on. No stowaways. No stowaways.
Dear Lord, we thank you so much, Lord God, for considering us and letting us know exactly where we are, Lord God, because you are our friend. And Lord, you don't want us to be in anxiety or fear.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord God, we are expecting you. And Lord, we're in this relationship, Lord, because we want to be where you are. Lord God, we want to, Lord God, be with you when you come. We don't want to be left behind. But Lord God, we want to make our calling and election sure. And Lord, we want to do everything we can to get to heaven. So Lord God, just help us, strengthen us. Help us to be an encouragement to one another. Lord, we want to help others to get there, not just me, but Lord God, others that I come in contact and with, we come in contact with along the way. Lord God, we want as many, and you want as many, Lord God, to come to heaven and to get to heaven with all of us. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for one day reaching out and saving us. Unworthy. Surely I was unworthy. But Lord God, thank you, Lord God, for extending your love to me, extending your love to all of us, and bringing us together in this heavenly place, in this body of Christ, Lord God, to your glory, and to give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Love everybody with the love of Christ.
Love
amen.
You.
Amen. Amen.
Good night. Just us ministers is going to stay on. See y'all later.
Good night, everybody.
Go ahead. Get up. Get off camera. Go ahead. Get off, Anita.
Good night. Good night, everybody. Good night. Love y'all.
Good night, Anita. I'll tell you what they said later on. I'm just throwing away. Good night, y'all. What they said, laughter is good medicine for the soul, right?
Yeah, we don't want to have to put you in witness protection, Sister Carol.
Oh, okay. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to Living Bread.
Living Bread.
Please spread the word about today's broadcast.
Living Bread.
The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us, 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.